Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. So, Lucas, what are we drinking tonight?
Well, Al, I figured since it's the start of November, I'd break out a Christmas beer because, according to the brewers, seasons don't matter anymore and we can just start releasing beers whenever we damn well please.
There was pumpkin beers in July.
Yeah. So, ridiculous. Mad Elf Christmas Ale came out 2 weeks ago.
Jesus.
but I was like, I'm not going
to... It's like they only want to make money.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to buy it. Because, you know, I've already had it, yada, yada, yada. Then I was like, wait, last year in a craft brewer pack, I snagged a Mad Elf. So, why not do a vertical? So, I've got a 2014 Mad Elf and a 2015 Mad Elf. And I know what you're thinking. Why don't you just wait one more year and do a three-year vertical? Because...
Who has patience?
Well, not because who has the patience. I'm actually in the process of cleaning out my beer cabinet to make room for more beer cabinet things.
And we might be dead next year.
Sorry.
It's true.
From all of here.
And, like, for instance, if Ryan keeps making comments like that, he'll be dead by the end of this podcast.
Right.
So, we're going to go ahead and try the 2015, which is the glass on your left. So you're going to drink that, sip it, do your thing, but by now you should know what to do.
I love Mad Elf. This is the, what year?
So this is the 15, this is the new one.
Freaking good.
So, the nose is decidedly sweet.
The beer is decidedly sweet.
Predominantly honey.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of cherry.
I'm getting a lot of cherry.
I got cherry. Try it again.
You're fucking wrong.
I'm getting cherry, and
I'm getting tart in the background, not necessarily straight cherry.
I smell more booze than I taste.
Yeah.
It smells barley wine boozy, but like when you actually taste it, it's
I think that's the sweetness from the honey. It lends like an extremely malt forward thing going on. So like that's something we associate with barley wines. But yeah, it's good.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. Noticeably tamer, I think, than years past. Like when the batch came out last year.
We're gonna find out.
Yeah. I think we did this last year, right?
We did. So now don't finish your glass. This is crucial.
I'm not. But I was gonna say before you get into it, warning for people who are going to get Mad Elf. It's a 4-pack? Or is it a 6-pack?
6-pack.
Okay, so that's the first warning.
6-pack, it's around $15.
It's a very expensive 6-pack, but it's well worth it, especially if you're going to have it with a couple friends. Do not
couple
have more
good friends.
Good friends, yeah. Just don't waste this on people.
Don't waste the
like
good stuff on cheap friends.
That's right. Do not drink more than like 2 of these in a sitting.
Drink 3.
These will kill you. These are really good. They will hit like...
It's the sweetness.
They will come up on you, yeah. Uh-huh. All right, now get into the...
So this
now,
is a news so over brewers drink responsibly.
That's right.
14. Right off the bat, way more cherries in this one.
Wow, yeah.
Like, a lot of cherry.
Holy jeez.
Tastes like a Twizzler.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So
cause Ryan to lose his testicles.
So it smells like licorice.
Yep.
It tastes like licorice.
It is licorice.
Which is why did you give us licorice? This isn't even beer.
Well, no. Okay, so
it's a Twizzler wrapper here.
Go ahead, Lucas. And like okay, so the other thing too is the color is a little bit
darker.
Yeah. But I think it's because the honey fades.
It definitely faded.
The honey faded, like even in just a year.
It's almost non-existent now.
Yeah.
So what would this beer be like in another year? Would it be?
It
like...
would probably just transform into a packet of Red Twizzlers.
So I opened up my beer cap.
It's just Twizzlers.
It was a packet of Red Vines. I don't like Red Vines. I like Twizzlers.
You know,
I'm an American.
What's nice about this though? Is that now that the honey fades, the beer comes out more. So it's like a little bit of a breadier finish to it, like a little bit of a drier finish. So now go back to the 15.
Does anybody have a cracker?
No.
It actually defeats the purpose of this. Yeah. And so, like, quite a difference. In the 15, you've got, like, you can taste the hop now. Now as you go from the 14 to the 15, yeah. I taste specifically hops. Yeah. I taste honey. I do not taste beer, necessarily. Like, I taste booze, but I don't taste, like, that, you know, like, that lager taste, or in this case, that ale taste, like, slightly biscuity, but, like fruity esters and all that stuff going on. I don't taste any of that in the 15. I only taste honey, hops, and slight honey. But in 14, it's, like, all cherry. And, like, a strong cherry, too.
Yeah, I taste the hops now when you go back to it. A little more of the honey. The cherry is not non-existent, but it's just, like, completely underwhelming opposed to the 14.
The old one is redder.
Old one's, like, the other one's literally a Twizzler. It's red, man. The other one's, like...
So now I'm going back to the 14. The
other one's, like, a little, like an amber. It looks more like an ale.
I'll tell you this, though. The 14 is smoother. So, like, one of the lost episodes we did a comparison between 1 year creme brulee and fresh creme brulee.
That was such a good episode.
Next year we're gonna do a 3 year though. So
hold this one's not lost.
Yeah.
Depends who's gonna be on the show with us.
And it's like more of a cherry flavor, but things are much smoother. Like, it feels more like a, like, things are blended more. Like this, you can go, okay, so there's, like, hops, and then there's beer, and then there's, like, this. But this just feels like cherries and then some background things, but it's all working very nicely together.
It's very good.
What do you guys prefer?
Ooh, 14.
Lucas?
14, but I'll drink a 15 any day of the week.
Oh, that's not a question.
I mean, they're both great beers. Yeah. They're, you know, Trogues is my favorite brewery.
Well, what about the 14 do you like better? Do you like it because it's predominantly cherry and it's like...
I like the taste and I like that it's
more
smoother.
Beer is kind
taste
of present.
It's tastier. It's smoother. And it's more of a, like... All right, so it is the essence of Christmas, this beer.
Well, so keep in mind that it's not just do you like the 14 or 15. It's do you like it 1 year aged or fresh? Because the year doesn't necessarily matter so much. Like, sure, the beer changes slightly year to year, but, like, this is the aging process.
Mostly. I like it. What I was saying was I like the aged one better. I like the aged one better because this I can see, like, curling in a blanket and watching the year without a Santa Claus or the Santa Claus is coming to town or just the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Ryan?
I'm kind of stuck, honestly, because I'm a licorice guy and I do love the smoother, more cherry, present aged beer. However, my heart is always stuck with the... I love that it's still complex here. You get the hint of honey, the cherry, and it's kind of just a big blend of a bunch of different factors. I love the aged, but I also love the fresh one, too.
Mm-hmm. For the aged one, before you get to Lucas, I was saying what movie I would like to drink with the aged one. Mm-hmm. For the aged one, you watch that classic... claymation shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your Rudolphs, your Santa Claus, your Frosty.
No, don't say it. I'm going to start crying.
With the new one, watch Die.
Or Lethal Weapon.
That's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's Christmas. Everybody forgets it.
Lethal Weapon is also a Christmas movie.
It's a shame.
Shane Black.
Shane Black's great, man. Or you can watch Iron Man 3 with it as well.
Yeah, you could.
Never saw Iron Man 3.
You're an idiot. Next.
So, we're going to ignore the fact that Ryan just totally Republican that question and didn't answer it.
I like this. And
no,
like
I said
this.
I prefer both beers, the fresh one.
Their benefits, and both beers have their flaws. But at the end of the day, they're both just as good as each other, and nobody is bad.
If you were present, if you were listening, I said my heart is with the fresh one.
Okay.
Asshole.
I'm going to go with the fresh one, too. I'm going to go with the fresh one, especially after tasting the old one. And not that the old one is bad, but I don't like Twizzlers.
I love Twizzlers.
Love Twizzlers.
Yeah, I don't really care for red licorice.
I would cut
Twizzlers.
Off both ends of a Twizzler and drink Twizzler.
Ooh,
I wouldn't do that.
That was Republican.
I wouldn't do that?
That was Republican. I would not do that.
I don't care for red licorice all that much. I tolerate black licorice if it's in a present in a coffee stout, because it serves a purpose. But not a lot of black licorice. So yeah, I mean, as far as these two go, your fresh Mad Elf, your 2015 Mad Elf has got, you know, some very subtle hop character, lots of honey, which, you know, gives a very malty smell and taste to it. A little bit of tart cherry in the background, just enough to kind of balance off that really heavy sweetness that the honey can bring. And it's really nice. It's like very, oh gosh, it's actually pretty good. And it's even better after drinking the old one. The old one is very cherry forward.
It complements it more, yeah, in a way.
The old one is very much cherry forward, a little bit more beery, a little bit drier on the back end, I think because you lose so much of the honey in just a year. Would I age this more than 1 year? Probably not. Just because it's going to turn into like just a giant cherry bomb. I mean, if that's what you want, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Rate your beer. Both beers, go.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'd give the fresh one probably like a 7.5. Personal preference. It's just not a style that I generally drink a ton of. And the old one probably a 7, 6.5. Mm-hmm. Again, 5 being like your totally average middle-of-the-road beers. These beers are both they're both good.
Mm-hmm.
Indicated by their 7 for the 14 and 7.5 for the 15 rating. But, yeah, it's just maybe not my style so much.
I'm going to go with 8 on the fresh one, 8.5 with the aged one.
Okay. Yeah, it's become such a thing now, especially with us. Like, usually when it gets closer to winter or the holidays, we're always like, did you get your Mad Elf? It's kind of like it's becoming something that...
Like when March hits, last week of February, what beer comes out last week of February? Yeah.
Also, jokes. You know, I'm very upset we never got the Flying Mouflon this year. We need to get that beer. We gotta hunt it down. Mm-hmm, it's one that is on the label itself. It says like throwing nugget nectar off a cliff.
What does that even mean?
It's right.
It's provocative.
It's exhilarating. It's exhilarating.
No one knows what it means.
All right, Rye, did you give your rating?
My ratings are suck and my balls. No, so I would say the fresh is probably an 8.5. The aged, 8.25. No, it's 8. I would give it an 8 because they're both amazing, and I would drink both of them again. I agree with Lucas, too. I would not age this more than a year because it would probably turn into cherry water. I don't know. But
that might be our highest margin of disagreement so far, I think. Like, almost, like that's a point of disagreement across the board.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the Mad Elf, like I said.
Welcome back to News Over Brews. It's just like the Nerdist podcast, but only much, much worse. I'm your host, Al Manarino. With me, as always, my two friends, and I don't know why at this point, Ryan DeMarco.
You don't have to scream.
And Lucas Jones.
Actually, if he doesn't scream, I can't hear him over Skype.
That's true.
Blowing my ear out. Ain't the first time.
So, guys, this has been a long time since we did this podcast.
It's been centuries.
It's been a while. Lucas has been off trying to be a rock star. Ryan has trying to...
I've been trying to date a rock.
You've been trying to date a star. You've been trying to date a rock, so that's kind of cool.
Good thing she doesn't listen to the podcast.
That's true. I've been...
Or he.
I started my separate podcast called Fan Theory. Which you can check out.
It's called Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
Shut up. On app.com/fan theory. Very cool podcast that I do with Alex Bice and Felicia Wellington Riddell, two of my coworkers at the Asbury Park Press. And we interview awesome people like Simon Pegg and Neil deGrasse Tyson, Mark Millar, Felicia Day. So definitely check that out when you get a chance. If you're a fan of this podcast, if you are one of the 15 people that view this podcast on a bi-triple month basis, then you will definitely enjoy another podcast.
I don't think it's nice to bash the 15 fans that we have.
I didn't bash the fans. I bashed our viewership. So yeah, that's the only plug you'll hear for today.
A bi-triple monthly basis would be once every 6 months.
Yeah, that's basically when we record a new episode, right?
It's really not, but...
I think it is. But yeah, so before we get into all the awesome news that we haven't prepared for you guys. Lucas,
you're really overselling us. I know. Overselling us tonight, aren't
Why
you?
Why are you guys even listening to us anymore? No, Lucas, what are we drinking tonight? Thank you, Lucas, as always, for that awesome beer review. I really wish you brought more of the Mad Elf.
I'm very jealous that you didn't bring us more. Like, you brought, like, two bottles. What the hell's the matter with you?
Because I had one bottle from last year.
Okay.
And I had one bottle from this year. So I brought two bottles.
I don't like his... I don't like his tone.
Good story.
I don't like his tone. Yeah. It's the wrong tone. You're talking to my guy all wrong here. Well...
He already, you know, within seconds, he's already 75 miles away, too. That's pretty crazy how he did that.
That's crazy. Teleports.
TV magic right there.
It's amazing.
TV on the radio.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about was something that happened today. And if this podcast comes out tomorrow, then it would make sense, me saying today. But I doubt it's going to come out tomorrow.
Yeah, Lucas, you need to shave.
Lucas, you really... Your beard
I'm just noticing that.
Your beard is fierce. Like Tay Diggs. This is, like, the worst movie news that's happened in a long time. They're remaking Memento, the Christopher Nolan film. I think it was, like, his second film, right?
Yeah, it was his second film.
Yeah, so he did his first film, Following.
Following.
Following's his first film.
Following, yeah.
It's not The Following, that's a shitty TV show.
It was a shitty TV
show. It was a shitty TV show. There was Following. And then his first, big break, that was his calling card film, Following, and then he did Memento.
I mean,
in theaters, hey, like, box office.
He wasn't, like, insta-famous, you know, he built up movies for, you know, he did four or five films before Batman Begins, so really, he built his credit up. It wasn't, like, after Memento, everybody knew his name.
Yeah, but he was, like an indie, he became a big name with Memento. Well, anyway, if you've never seen Memento,
stop listening to this
and go listen to Memento.
Go
listen to it. You know, close your eyes and just listen to the movie. No, it's a very awesome. It's very visual. Please don't do what I just said. Watch the film if you can. Memento.
Catch up to speed. What it is?
No, I actually don't, because I went into that movie blind, and I'm so glad I never read anything into it. It's really good. Stars Guy Pearce. Go watch it. It's awesome. It's like them saying, like, this production company is like, oh, we see that Memento, we can bring it to a new audience, and, you know, it was so successful at its time, and we think it can even be more of a success. Yeah, that's a justification for anything, and, you know, remaking something like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is, like, something that's, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they have rubber monsters do it, and now they can do it with CGI, even though they're not doing it well, they're still doing it.
I honestly don't see how they could possibly bring, I mean... No, actually, no. I really can't see how, you know, I guess...
But, like, honestly, to film fans, this is like someone kind of saying, like, oh, we're going to remake Reservoir Dogs. Sure, you can do that, but why? It's already happened. It was great. You just want to update every movie ever?
Yeah, now it seems like remakes now or reboots are, like, coming even smaller now. Like, it was, like, once, like... It was like once every 20 or 30 years, and then like it kept getting smitten. It was once every 10 years, once every 5 years.
That's once every 10 minutes.
It's gonna be like, yeah, once every 2 months. Like, oh, they just made that movie in April.
Well, here's my question. Has there been any remakes that have been successful yet?
Define successful.
Has been like a box office hit and has, like, people said, like, yes, I want more of this. And I said remakes, not reboots. And there's a difference. And for those who don't know the difference, it's pretty simple. Lucas, remake versus reboot.
A remake is like Memento, where they take the same movie and they just remake it again. A reboot is like Star Trek, where they took what was a once proud franchise
and pushed
it down the toilet.
Hey, I liked
possibly rescued by CBS.
I like Star Trek
Nothing has ever been rescued by CBS.
I like Star Trek, and I think Star Trek Into Darkness might be the greatest movie of our entire life. I'm kidding.
What do you think? Yeah, Lucas you're treading on some dangerous ground.
Lucas is trying to kill me.
You're about to cross the fucking line
with his gaze. Yeah, I mean,
like, what do you think? Do you think Peg can possibly?
Well, we're getting into a Star Trek conversation about reboots.
That's true.
Reboots. We're talking about remakes. So, like, all right, Total Recall, right? Remake. Yeah. RoboCop, remake.
Yeah.
Were they good?
No.
Okay. Were people saying...
I got one.
Go.
Dread?
No. Oh, technically, no.
It's a remake.
No, it's not a remake.
Or reboot.
No, it's a reboot.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because is that a story that was in the first film?
No.
No.
All right.
No, we're talking about like a remake of the original thing.
I got nothing then.
No.
Oh, just like the Raid?
Point Break.
Yeah, Point Break.
They're remaking Point Break.
I was going to say the Raid.
They're not there. They canceled that.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Well, everyone dropped out.
Yeah, finally.
They're like, wait, we can't.
They came to their senses.
We can't remake perfection.
Yeah, seriously.
So, yeah, they dropped out of that.
That's music to my ears.
I know. It's fantastic. Thank God. I was going to say, like, Terminator was not a remake.
There's a sequel.
That was a sequel, yeah. And Creed or...
That's neither.
Rambo. That's a sequel. Those are all sequels. So you can tell the difference.
You know why remakes aren't successful? And like, okay, maybe there's one or maybe there's two. But the fact that we can't readily think of it means that generally they're not. And I think the reason that they're not successful is because you try to take, like, you look at a movie and like movies that are, so you remake a couple kinds of movies. You either remake a movie because it's good and you want to like update it for the times. And in that case, I feel like you lose what made the original movie good.
Exactly.
And then you could try to remake a bad movie and say, okay, let's remake it and let's do it right, which I think they did with Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. But like,
I feel like that's a reboot.
No, because Evil Dead 2 had the same plot as Evil Dead. But it was just redone as a comedy instead of a horror.
Wait. Evil Dead 2, the original Sam Raimi film. Raimi. That is the comedy, and then you're saying that the remake of the Evil Dead, the remake that just came out, is a remake?
No, the original Evil Dead. There was an original Evil Dead that was supposed to be horror.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2 is a sequel.
It's a remake, though.
No!
It's a sequel in title only now.
Oh my God, Ryan! Can you back me up on that?
It's a sequel, but it's, I don't remember Evil Dead 2 that well. Was it just like the same events, just with
basically?
It was a different cast, though.
Yeah,
obviously.
So here's my point: is that you either remake a good film and you try to capture what was great about it, and you can't, because what's great about a movie is the technology at the time, the script writing at the time, and also like the time that it was released in makes the movie special. And then if you try to remake a bad movie, like, there's a reason it was a bad movie. You know, you could try to make it better, but at the end of the day, it's still going to be, like, the same film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in both cases, you're like...
Unless they could bring something revolutionary to the table that wasn't in the first one that, like, wow, that's pretty smart.
Here's my example, and it's more of a reboot, I guess, in the sense, like, 21 Jump Street. You take a property that was like an old property and remake it for a new audience, but you change up a lot of, you pretty much just take the name and the concept, but not
anything
the
else.
Original and characters that's a reboot. Or the storylines. What'd you say?
And that's a reboot.
That's a reboot.
Yes. But it's a little,
you're taking the concept.
Exactly.
Just the concept.
Exactly. So they should be doing more if they have to. First of all, there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of writers out there who have original ideas for movies that should get made. Straight off the bat. Or, you know, stuff that is, like, hidden as, like, not an original idea, but is original. Like, Avatar. So, that's just an example. But yeah, like, they should, if they're gonna go that route of, like, alright, we have to go back to the well, let's take something like The Fall Guy, or The Equalizer. Oh, that was it. That was another one. The
Equalizer, yeah.
That was another one.
Yep.
They were just, did they straight up, like, remake that?
Inglourious Basterds is technically something, too.
I mean, by name only.
I don't know.
That was definitely not the plot of the original Inglourious Basterds. I'm pretty sure.
Not all.
Pretty sure they didn't beat the guy to death with a bat.
Hans Landa was in the first
Hans
one.
Hans Landa was not in the first one. Exactly. So, what I'm saying is, it doesn't make sense to like a shot for shot remake or.
Like in Psycho.
They literally did a shot for shot remake, yeah. And it did not.
The only difference is, you see Anastasia's butthole in the new one. Valuable information.
Thanks,
for
Ryan.
Movie lovers.
What was that from?
That was from
what was that from? Is that How This Get Made?
I don't know. What did they do it?
No, I thought that was from something.
It was from something.
Exactly, like from a podcast.
And I went back and I was like, oh yeah, you do see your butthole, kind of.
Thank you for the valuable. Good job, Ryan. That was terrible. But yeah, so remaking a film like Memento is just a terrible idea. Because, as Lucas already said, you're taking what everyone loved about the film and you're probably going to take all of that out.
You're literally remaking any ideas, or remaking any movie, is just not a good idea.
Lucas, like, you've never seen Memento, but without spoiling it, the basic concept is this guy has amnesia.
Do you remember what you said?
Yeah. I kept recording. All right.
Yeah, so did I.
All right, so wait. So the basic plot of Memento is this guy has amnesia, and he's trying to figure out this problem. Like I said, I don't want to give away the whole plot, but basically, the way he keeps, like, the way he tries to remember is he tattoos all of these, like,
all the important information.
All the important information that he's gathered so far on his body. What's the 21st century version of that going to be? Because he didn't have a smartphone then. He could just write it all on his fucking iPhone.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be whichever company pays him more, Samsung or Apple.
And I saw a tweet today and someone said, like, oh, like, how are they going to do Memento? The guy can just look on his Twitter timeline and see all the relevant information. I'm like, so, yeah, that's... There's some things... Ryan said it before. There's some things that you can't... Because of the time period, you can't remake.
Well, you know what they would probably end up doing? They'd probably end up doing something along the lines where... They'd have to change it. They'd have to change it to something where all his digital records are getting changed as well.
That's not Memento.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
What's the deal? That's the joke, yeah.
No, but Ryan even said, like, and we've said this probably on multiple occasions, that, you know, we're the last generation that is, like, that is going to understand Seinfeld. You know?
Yeah.
Because everyone who watches Seinfeld, like if I showed my little cousin Seinfeld now,
they wouldn't laugh.
No, they'd be like, why didn't he just text him that, you know, the car was there in the parking garage? Why didn't you do the Find My Phone app? Like, why? Like, stupid shit like that. So
yeah, it's getting harder and harder. They didn't have a phone. What?
Yeah, so it's like, it's going to be tough to remake certain films that have to, like, the realm of possibility is, like, kind of shrinking because of how technology has advanced.
What it comes down to is also just the dilemma of just purely making a movie just to make money and not for the I don't know. It just seems like a cash grab to me. It's just, it's so...
It's not even a cash grab because people, like...
They're out of ideas.
But it's not even that. Like, why would you, like... All right. People who like the movie Memento like the movie Memento and don't want to see a remake of Memento.
Yeah, there's countless franchises. I mean, they're like, oh, they're remaking this. Why?
Yeah, so, like, who was profiting from this? Have they seen it? Like, have they added up all the profits of all the remakes and said, this is working out for us?
No, let's give this a stab. Let's try to squeeze every last penny from this property.
The bottom line is that any studio that says they want to bring a movie to a new generation is just doing it for a cash grab. You know how you bring an old movie to a new generation? You show the movie to somebody younger than you.
Yeah. Now, all right. Well, now you're on that subject. Is there a film out there that if you had, Lucas, because I know what you're going to say is like, just show them the original movie or they're going to pick any movie. But if, gun to your head, studio executive tells you, you have to pick a franchise to remake. For a new audience, or we're gonna shoot you in the face.
How are you getting away with murder, franchise? Yeah,
don't ask those questions. Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to. But yeah, so what would the What do you think is an actual franchise that could be remade for a new audience? Or not even franchise, just like a one-off film it could be. That could use the update.
Oh, God. I don't know, man. Like, I'm torn here because on the one hand, I want to pick a movie that I like and I'd like to see remade. But given the history of remakes, I'm almost tempted to pick a film that, like, I don't give a shit about. So that when it gets remade...
But hear me out. You get to pick the writer and director. So, like, it's going to be a good film. But you have to pick a classic film or something that, like, has either a cult following or a huge following to be remade. But you get to say, oh, fucking any director, any writer.
Star Trek with Tarantino.
No. Oh, God, no. That movie would be even more fucking useless.
Hey.
You would love it.
Hey.
Spock would be like Tarantino a movies already sometimes don't make any fucking sense.
But they're always awesome.
They're always amazing.
I would probably pick either Full Metal Jacket or Apocalypse Now.
I thought you were going to say 2001 for some reason.
No, because...
That's just me.
Yeah, no, nobody could remake that.
Yeah. But you're saying Full Metal Jacket can be remade. How? Who does it? Actually, I was going to say Tarantino. That wouldn't be that bad.
I think... If you do that. Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think Tarantino could... direct it, but he shouldn't write it.
Ooh. He would never do that. I think he would never direct something and write.
Not anymore, no.
I think it'd be interesting to see what Spielberg could do with that.
Ooh.
Because...
I feel like he would make it just... But like he would make it tamer.
He would make the drill sergeant Tom Hanks.
But here's the reason why... Here's the reason why Spielberg needs Tarantino. Is because Spielberg has a great sense of, like, timing and setup and lead in with the shots, but Tarantino needs to be there to make the movie intense. Because I feel like a remake of this movie would be it captures the same aesthetic and feel of the old movie, but you put it in modern times so that younger kids can when the movie was made, people still, you know, there were still a lot of people who, you know, lived through the Vietnam War. But if you made it now in, like, the Iraq War or the war in Afghanistan, I feel like it would give the same emotions but to a younger generation and a different war. So I feel like it could have the same impact if you updated it for the modern war and you didn't hold anything back. Mm. So that's my answer.
Ryan?
Could be remade.
I have my movie. I have my director. I don't have my writer.
Hmm. Eli Roth for anything.
He's my star.
He's my star. He's the bear Jew. He's anything.
My star. I guess the writer wouldn't really matter because it's a shot for shot. Not a shot for shot, but it's like a remake. So you can really just use the original script or like maybe a updated script.
Okay, you know what? I feel like I've always said that I would never want to see this property remade or rebooted, but
there we go.
I feel like in the right hands, it could be cool and go with it.
Hit me.
If they remade Dirty Harry.
Ooh. But it's no Clint. Who's but the new Clint?
It's no Clint. Listen here.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Not who I was going to say.
Me either.
You know who I would put in a modern day Dirty Harry?
Jason Statham.
No.
Who?
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
He would be good.
Yeah.
He would be good.
You know my infatuation with the new Dredd.
Oh, Carl Urban's amazing. He arguably could have possibly been Batman too, I think. Punisher or something, yeah.
You ready for mine? I don't have a writer. You'd have to find a writer for me.
Okay, fine.
Clockwork Orange.
Oh, sweet Jesus, you're going to hell for that one.
Wait.
Okay.
Directed by David Fincher.
Yeah.
Well,
he's good with rape scenes. He, guys,
that's your basis of
guys doing good. That. No, he's got the dark twisted mind. Every film of his is like that's super
true.
Dark.
That's true.
And he's a great director. He's my favorite director, one of them. I actually kind of have my star too. It would have been Heath Ledger if he was still alive. Rest in peace. That he would have played Alex DeLarge. It's either a toss up. They would want a big star, and I would say Gosling could possibly do it.
Gosling? Mm.
But if they were going to say, oh, you can pick whoever, Dan Stevens. The guy from The Guest.
Dan Stevens, yeah.
He would. He's a psycho. He plays a good psycho.
Yeah, he did. He was he would be an interesting fit. He would be definitely because cool. He definitely.
But he might be too old for the role because he was like I think Alex DeLarge was like a younger because
he's supposed to be like a teen or like a late or like a young. Yeah. Young.
Damn. Shame.
Shame.
I mean, I'm sure you can find some, but I think Fincher doing Clockwork Orange would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that's me saying that's like one of my one of my favorite movies of all time.
Have the woman who wrote Gone Girl.
Oh, Gillian Flynn.
Gillian Flynn.
Have her do it?
I don't know. But they work so
Aaron
beautifully
Sorkin.
Together. Hey, Aaron Sorkin, yeah.
They work talking so the movie.
good picks, guys.
These are some solid picks. We are going to get so much hate from all 15 people.
What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
All 15 people who listen to this podcast are going to be so pissed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're going to be very upset. Well, yeah, that's our picks for what movie should probably not be remade, but if you have to, gun to our head.
Well, you know what? It's because, yeah, like, if someone was remaking, you know, those movies, we would, I don't know, because like some of these picks, I mean, not going to say that we know the best picks ever, we don't, but, God, like, some of these choices, like, you're like, Jesus Christ, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense, some of them. And it's not even, like, they're picking, like, these films that were, like, really, they have a cult following, and they're like, we're going to get a modern audience to love this movie. Like, how many, like, there's, like, probably a show of hands that likes Total Recall. Like, you know, like, that is not like a, oh my God, that's the best movie of all time.
I've seen some really, like, good reviews for it, but, like user reviews, like, probably don't know that it's a remake or don't, I don't know, who the hell knows, don't know anything before 1997, I don't know.
Completely agree.
First movie ever was Anaconda. Great.
Great. But yeah, that's our picks. If you hate them or love them, Luke, what's your Twitter?
LJones1138.
LJones.
Hit him with all the hate.
Yeah, all the hate. If you like our picks, at News Over Brews on Twitter. Hit us up.
Please. We'll pay you.
Please. Please. We're so lonely. But yeah, what else do you guys want to talk about?
Well, I mean, this is an interesting. We could just tag this on with the remakes and everything. It really isn't, but this has been bothering me for about a month now.
We're staying current, guys.
Staying with movies and everything. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but with the budget inflation, with everything, like it was reported that Batman vs. Superman was currently the most expensive movie ever, raking in around $410 million. And with Justice League, they're planning around $500 million. And then in response
for part one or part two?
They just said Justice League, the first one.
Oh.
And then in response to this, Marvel has set aside $1 billion.
For Avengers Infinity War part one and two.
Like, is it just me, or is this a little crazy? Like, it's getting crazy. I remember, well, first of all, if we recall, Terminator 2 was the first movie ever with a budget to hit $100 million. That was in 1990. $100 million?
I'm wiping my ass on $100 million. It's chump change.
I shit out $100 million every morning, bitch. So.
Always text it like, takes it three steps further.
No, but like, seriously, like, there's so many things wrong with that. Like, just to think about that. Those four movies is almost $2 billion. If they stay with the budgets, that's $2 billion. What else could we spend $2 billion on besides, what is it, like 15 hours of footage?
Well, here's my question. I don't know. Two questions. One question. I changed my mind.
Pick your, yeah. Okay.
It's a question for you because you know box office numbers. How much did Avengers make?
First one?
Total box office sales.
Like 1.5, 1.6 billion.
Billion.
Yeah.
Avengers 2?
A little less. Like 1.3, 1.4.
So almost 3 billion.
Yeah. Just with those two.
No. So.
No, not almost 3 billion. 2.5 billion.
Sorry. Thank you. 2.5 billion. Thank you.
You can't just make up $500 million because you feel like it.
Apparently the Hollywood can. $2.5 billion.
Right.
For two movies.
No, it's
shut up.
2.8.
No, 2.8? you said 1.4 5. And then a little less.
1.5 and probably 1.2.
Yeah.
It's like 1.2. Okay, so 2.7. Oh my god.
Okay, 2.7.
Between those two movies. So if the budget for Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2 is $1 billion,
yeah.
$1 billion, it makes sense to spend that much, and here's why. But wait. Let's talk about this for a second.
Okay.
One more.
Are you having a conundrum?
I have a conundrum. Is it $1 billion total
for Infinity two Wars? Films? $1 billion total.
Does that include the marketing?
I mean, it didn't say that. It just said...
Because when a film says that they have a budget of this much...
I would assume
that's just, no, that's just the film budget.
No, I would assume with the marketing and everything, too.
No. You're saying that it's going to be $1 billion for both films and the marketing?
Plus the marketing.
That's impossible.
That's impossible?
Yeah, because you're saying if they're doing Justice League for like $500 million...
Yes.
Then they're probably doing both Avengers as $500 and $500. That's $1 billion. And the marketing. So you're tack on another 500 mil at least. Yes, marketing.
How much do you think marketing costs?
Look it up. Look it up.
In
Disney, okay. Marketing. Look it up. A lot of freaking money.
Okay, but still.
But so what I'm just saying is they're going to do, let's just say $1.5 billion they're going to spend. For Avengers 1 and 2, Infinity War Part 1 and 2, they're going to hope that it makes...
Yeah, how much is it going to make to break even?
How much
even
does it have to make to break even?
To break even.
The first one has to make 1.5, at least, and it'll probably make more. Mm-hmm. So it might make like $2 billion, which is fucking ridiculous if you think about it. The first one makes $2 billion, the second one makes a little less, probably, like 1.8. So that's... 3.8, correct?
Getting the thumbs up from
Lucas. Yes, that is correct.
He's on board, yeah.
So that's not even that much of a profit. It's only like $1 billion.
What else?
They make movies with that. That's just going to pay the budget. Like, that's crazy. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Because you're going to go.
No, but that's not... They're not making anything. It's weird. That's too much money. They should be... Like... How it can't cost that much to do effects at this point. It can't.
No, because the money that they make is going to insulate themselves from loss on the smaller films.
But not that's fine with the money they make. That's great. That's great. But why can't you make a $250,000 Avengers movie?
How long do you have?
Sorry. $250 million. Sorry. $250 million.
Hey, I'll make you a $250,000 Avengers movie.
Oh my god. I feel like that Roger Corman
one. It'll be starring me, you, Ryan.
Anyway,
the other $249,000.
Why can't you make a $250? Because how much was District 9?
I don't even know. It wasn't that much. $30 million maybe?
It was like $25 to $30 million. And he made fucking District 9. Now, why can't you make a $250 million Avengers movie and then make $1.5 billion?
Could.
See, that's why, they do that's, that why the first I think, time? That's why I think those numbers include marketing.
$250, yeah.
I don't think so.
Just, I don't know.
I don't think so about the marketing.
I don't know if... Yeah. I mean, look at Star Wars. Like, I'm marketing aside, the movie's budget...
They're not marketing Star Wars.
Yeah. I don't even know what's coming out. The movie budget by itself was 150 or 170, and that's going to make two Earths basically in money. It's going to make like a solar system of money.
JJ's gonna be Oprah rich.
JJ, he's be dropping loads all over the place, and it's gonna feed an entire nation, basically.
It's 170,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's $170 million to make the movie. Add another $100 million for the budget for the marketing.
I mean, unless the two new Avengers movies are going to have no CGI whatsoever, and they're actually building like Asgard and the different realms and the sky bridge and all that effects, shit. Yeah.
Guys, yeah. We're doing practical effect this time. We actually made Iron Man.
But when? Yeah, when does it stop though? Ridiculous.
It stops because all right. So listen,
it's going to stop when it bottoms out completely.
Well, right. So every economy has a boom and a bust cycle. That's how the free market works. All right.
Political Lucas. Right
no,
here.
This is economics Lucas, not yeah. political Lucas.
Economic Lucas.
we need a theme song for this.
I'll write a theme song. This week in Economic Lucas.
Cha-ching!
So every economy has a boom and bust cycle, right? Every single market has one. So the housing market had one. There was a boom in the early 2000s, and then it went flat in 2008. In the 1920s, there was the credit market. The credit card came into existence. There was a huge market boom when people bought a whole bunch of goods on credit and then realized they couldn't pay for it, and then the market went flat. 70s, the same thing happened with oil. We're in the middle of a craft beer boom right now. There will be a craft beer bust soon. And all these big breweries will either sell out or fold, like we're already starting to see. Ballast Point just got bought for $1 billion by Constellation Group.
A billion?
A billion.
A billion?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made that much.
They make good beer, man.
They do make good beer.
And so we're going to see the same thing with Marvel movies. Marvel movies have become their own.
Well, it's not just Marvel. It's comic book movies.
Even comic book movies have become their own economy. Rhythm games, Guitar Hero and Rock Band, the same thing happened. They flew too close to the sun, and people got burned out, and then they crashed and burned. Same thing is going to happen here.
Like Icarus?
Please don't make a movie out of Icarus.
I said like Icarus.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that's what's going to happen. Eventually, at some point, people are going to look at these like movies, and they're going to go, you know what? I just don't care anymore. Or... you know, we've had too many flops in a row. Or, you know, I don't really give a shit about, like, Ant-Man's third cousin, who is also a superhero, who's like Grasshopper Boy. I don't really care. So, yeah, it will happen eventually. And, you know, maybe that's why they're dropping all this money now. Because, you know, maybe they're insulating themselves against whatever kind of bust happens in the future.
That's possible. I mean, yeah.
You know, but it will happen eventually. This type of thing, in an economy of free choice, like moviegoers are, they don't have to go see movies. There will eventually be a time where they choose not to go to movies, either because theaters are too expensive or the movies start to suck. For whatever reason, they're going to stop. And at that point, the whole thing is going to crash and burn.
I mean, thank you, Economic Lucas. Yeah.
You're already kind of starting to see it now, like a little bit. They're starting to question it so much. They're like, oh, when is it gonna kind of fold? When is it starting to come down? Like this great big event, because it's been sweeping us for about 10 years now.
It's crazy.
It's been crazy, and it's getting colossal. It's getting ridiculous, and now if this is not like the culminating point. Where it starts to go down. Because I think after Infinity War and all this stuff, you can't go any bigger. It's going to have to wind down eventually after that. And what will happen, you know, who knows? Like after Avengers, they're going to get a whole new cast. Justice League, maybe DC might finally be able to start to pick up some momentum now that Marvel is going to be done. Anyway, that
but,
aside... Hey,
but I don't want to get into this tangent, because this could be a whole other podcast, but I just want to say that we're already seeing great superhero stories being told on television.
On Netflix.
Yeah. And, like, they don't have $500 million budgets.
Look at the characters, though.
You know? Sorry. They don't, you know, they have TV budget.
Oh yeah,
a fraction.
Yeah, look at the characters. Like I said,
no, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, but look what they're doing on Flash.
Yeah, I know. Of
course. They got pretty great effects. I mean, they could be better. But what I'm saying is, like, they're telling great stories.
Yeah,
and getting great viewership.
Yeah, that's why TV is like
a fraction of the cost. Right now, yeah. So I think maybe after Disney bombs with something, Not that I want to see it, but I'm just saying, if something bombs...
It's kind of inevitable.
It is inevitable. If they bomb, then just keep telling the stories. Don't, like, oh, no, no more comic book movies. They're poison. No, just tell them on television or Netflix, because Daredevil is the best Marvel property they have. It is. It beats the Avengers. It beats Iron Man. It beats Ant-Man. It beats all of those stories, because they told an origin of two... Maybe, you know, more like Daredevil and Kingpin in 13 episodes.
Yeah.
They have to do that with every single character in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, instead, yeah. They got to complete an entire arc in 13 episodes like a comic book. It was like 13 books, 13 issues. Like, that's insane. That's so cool. Like, they really need to, like...
So you're saying
do more of that?
You're saying they should do the TV format, or like take a page out of TV right now after this colossal thing is settled.
I think they just need to lower their budgets, because they're insane.
They need to lower their budgets,
because you know what's going to happen? They're going to expect us to pay more to go see the movie.
Tickets are going to be $20 a ticket.
I'm not paying $20 to go. I'll just wait to buy it for $20.
Yeah,
it's outrageous that I go to see Star Wars for like $14 in 3D IMAX or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. Yes, but it's a lot.
Is it going to be worth it? Yeah. But.
We can only hope so.
It looks good.
It looks good, all of it.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, why, like, it's crazy that I even go out and see a movie now for $14 when 6 months later it's available for $20.
I get so upset with myself when the movie is awful, too, and it's like an insult that I paid that much money for that.
I haven't been to a movie that was bad in a long time, which is good.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last one that was like, ugh. Sucked.
American Ultra. I was like, it could have been better. Like, we were waiting for that for a long
time. Then we were. I think we were the only ones. We were
like, the only ones excited. I think so.
Star Trek.
Shut up.
They keep their budgets.
Star Trek, first of all, you liked Star Trek when you saw it. I'm just going to throw that out there. You did.
It was a good movie. Not a good Star Trek movie.
But you just did not prove your point.
Yes, it did. You asked, what was the last bad movie you saw?
Your phone's gonna die.
Incorrect. Oh, it's dead?
I just told you. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Star Trek was a great movie if you want to just sit in the theater and be entertained. But it was a terrible Star Trek movie, and when you add those two things together, that means it was a bad movie. Like, I'm not going to see a Star Trek movie just to be entertained like a mindless zombie. I want a Star Trek film.
But, like, good movie plus... bad movie would be no movie.
No.
Yeah. Unless you did like averages, like if it was like a 75 or no.
No, it's like a weighted movie. It's like a weighted grade in the class. Like, okay, your homework grade is worth 15%, but your test grades are worth 65%, and then participation or some other bullshit is the rest of it. Like, if you get an A in your homework grade, but you bomb your tests, you're going to fail the class. If a movie is carrying the Star Trek title, it had better be a good Star Trek movie. Anybody can make a good movie, but a good Star Trek movie is something else.
Incorrect. I don't believe anyone can make a good movie.
Well, apparently not.
I disagree with you. And that was a good movie, because you keep contradicting what you're
I'm
saying.
I'm not contradicting
you're
saying he made what a I'm bad saying. I'm saying
you said,
if you're
you said he
take,
made a good movie.
No, if you're going to take a movie. So, like, a movie is just a set of still pictures that run consecutively with audio attached, right? If you want to make a good movie,
a flick.
There are several ways to do that. However, if you are going to take that set of pictures and audio and title it Star Trek, now you have to make a good Star Trek movie. If you want to just make a space movie where people blow up and starships that aren't designed to enter an atmosphere can magically just survive underwater for extended periods of time, then you could do
that's
that.
The second movie.
But
you're
once
just,
you attach Star Trek, now you have to make a Star Trek movie. You can't just attach these titles. And this maybe this is the problem. They're attaching these titles to movies and then just making movies. Like they're just it's okay. So it's like. My one fear for Star Wars Battlefront is that it's just going to be Battlefield 4 with a Star Wars skin.
Does not look like it. The gameplay looks fucking insane.
But so that's my fear.
I saw Luke Skywalker throw someone into a TIE fighter.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker, who's wearing the wrong clothes.
God damn.
He's wearing...
Oh yeah, I forgot. He's not allowed to change.
No, chronologically, it didn't happen yet.
You own one outfit. Guys, I kind of smell after fighting all these Sith.
After three movies.
Can I take a shower? No! You go fight more Sith.
No, on Hoth, he had his blue lightsaber and he was wearing Hoth gear. On Return of the Jedi, he had his green lightsaber and he was wearing black. How hard is it for EA, the largest video game company in the world?
Can you
what?
It's a game. You can just put custom skins and stuff and do whatever you
then
want.
Then why?
It's a game. It's a game. It's not a movie. It's a game.
Then why
like,
didn't
it's a game
they just
you play.
Do that?
That's probably what they did.
Why release a demo, or a beta, whatever you want to call it, featuring a prominent hero on a prominent location wearing the wrong skin, if you have the ability to change it? Why?
What's Battlefront... Where is Battlefront supposed to take place?
Everywhere, I guess. I don't know. There's no campaign mode. How are we supposed to tell?
So are you judging a game, A, before you played it?
I'm judging...
And B, you're an idiot?
A, I'm judging a game based on what we know and what I've seen. And based on what I've seen, I'm really hoping it's not just Battlefield 4 with a Star Wars skin attached to it. And that is what I feel like these bad remakes
are.
It is
so far since you haven't played it.
These bad remakes are. Is that they're just movies with these different properties attached to them to make them sell to an audience. That's my point.
All right.
Star Trek was a great movie. But once you add the Star Trek characters and storyline and universe, it becomes a bad movie because you didn't make a Star Trek film. You just made an action movie and you put Captain Kirk in it. It's like if somebody made a death metal album and put Coldplay on it. It's not a Coldplay album. You're just using the name to sucker people into it.
I don't think that's a good analogy. You're usually good with your analogies. That was a poor analogy. No, because you keep saying that it was a good movie, but...
Oh, okay. Here's a better one. Here's a better analogy. I got one for you.
Please. All right, go.
It's like me inviting you over to my house and saying, hey guys, I made you pulled pork sandwiches. But instead what I did was I shredded and smoked a bunch of like shiitake mushrooms and put them in barbecue sauce. Shredded shiitake mushrooms with barbecue sauce tastes great, but it's not pulled pork.
That's a better analogy. And we're going to end it on that, because there's nothing better than that at this point. Yeah. Thank you for listening to another episode of News Over Brews. Sorry that it took so long for us to get you a new episode. We are all incredibly busy, but it's a poor excuse. Honestly, we are just terrible at podcasting at this point. But if you want to follow a podcast that airs twice a week, Fan Theory, second plug.
Sell out.
I got a plug.
Oh, Lucas, plug away.
So I have a podcast, too.
Oh yeah.
If you like hockey and you also like junior hockey, then you should go watch the Dan K Show on YouTube and go to USPHL.com and then find the Dan K Show and watch it, because it's a video podcast where myself and my friend Dan break down the weekly happenings of the USPHL.
You know what? Fuck you guys and your podcasts. I'm going to take a shit.
If you
want to
see Ryan, visit the BJs in Manahawkin. and just say hi. That's,
fuck you so many times.
That's going to end it for News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino. And I have nothing else to say.
Oh, go fuck yourself, Al Manarino. I'm Ryan DeBarker.
Peace out. I'm Lucas.
Thanks for listening.